95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest has turned a tragedy in her life into triumph. Lauren Raja lost her husband in 2014 in a tragic accident while vacationing in Europe. After mourning and trying to move on with her young life, she realized life is too short not to live passionately and with purpose. She created her own business and is using that business this holiday season to give back in a fun way. Lauren, thanks so much for coming by today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kathy.
Tell me a little bit about your husband. Where did you meet him?
My husband and I met in college. We went to Newman University in Aston, Pennsylvania, years ago. It wasn't until 7 years after that he reached out on Facebook and asked to meet up. And we had a great time in Philly, and things just took off from there. And it was just weird. We just knew instantly that we were like best friends, you know?
So when did you get married?
We got married in 2011.
And you went on this trip in Europe. Was this your honeymoon?
It was actually his sister's destination wedding. And that was in 2014.
Okay, so you got married 2011.
Yes.
2014, you go to your sister-in-law's destination wedding.
Yes.
And tell me what happened.
2 days before the wedding, we went on one of those like cruises of the islands.
Where were you?
In Santorini. Beautiful, beautiful place. It was early in the morning and they would stop at different beaches and we would, you know, get off and swim, and he was fine. And then the one time I was laying out in the front and he jumped off. I didn't see him jump off, but he was, and he was swimming. And I remember I have a picture of him. I took a picture of him and I told him I was going to go run to the bathroom real quick. And I was walking down to the bathroom and I could hear like everybody like running around, you know, just a bunch of loud noise. It was horrible. And I just stopped. It's like almost like I knew. As I was going up the steps, they were like pulling him up. It was weird because it was a big boat and it was like almost like I was meant to be there. I mean, I'll spare details, but it was really sad. I mean, it's not like the United States where you can get help right away. It took us a long time to get to shore. The captain of the boat wouldn't move until everybody else swam back from the beach. I was screaming, you know, telling them. It was awful.
Did he drown?
It was a drowning. It's still kind of unknown, you know, the reasoning. And
so they just, you
something
just
could have happened that caused it. We don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But essentially they had to pull him from the water onto the boat.
Yeah.
And so you had to sit on the boat for how long?
Oh God. Well, it felt like an eternity.
I'm sure.
We did mouth to mouth and CPR, but as you know, after a while, it kind of is pointless. Mm. They didn't know what they were doing. It's really sad.
Yes,
you have to be so careful when you go to these places, because it's not like the United States.
We say that all the time. Anytime we go, even Europe.
Yeah.
But the islands especially, it's not the same. It's just not the same here. They don't have those guidelines, restrictions, safety measures in place.
No, they didn't have anything on that boat. I remember years ago, I went to Croatia. This was before I got married. And I cut my foot on a rock. We stopped off and I jumped off a rock. I cut my foot really bad. And I remember the captain gave me I asked for a Band-Aid or something, his first aid kit. He gave me a shot of whiskey and one of his homemade donuts like that.
Oh, God.
That's what I got.
That was bad.
And I remember telling that story to Justin a few days before. But yeah, it was really sad. And then it was Columbus Day weekend. And, you know, I felt awful for his sister and Nico.
So this happened before the wedding.
Yeah.
So did they get married?
Well, when we got back home after the funeral and everything, Justin's favorite number was 21. So we went on the 21st of October and we went and I was like their witness. We just went to the courthouse and just, you know, made it official. But and then they had a reception a year later.
I would imagine then after the accident, everyone came home.
More or less. Yeah. I remember we walked back to the hotel after they told us the news at the hospital, and then we had to take a ferry to Athens because nothing happens in Santorini, and we had to get an autopsy. It was Columbus Day weekend, so the embassy was closed on Monday, so we had to wait till Tuesday. So I decided to go back on Tuesday. That was our original time I was going to go back because I was a middle school math teacher. You know, I couldn't take too much time off. It was October. Came back, planned the funeral. The funeral ended up falling on my birthday, which was the 18th. But it was a Saturday, and I knew it was going to be a large funeral because of how awesome of a person he was, but also because he was a young, you know, a young man. Kind of like one last thing I could share with him. And then I took care of all the affairs, closing bank accounts, all that awful stuff. I don't know how, It's amazing the power of like being in shock. It really gets you through.
What you actually can get done.
Yes.
Well, you know, I always think, and we say this all the time, you'll see different stories on the news. And one comes to mind was the family that went to Disney and their son was attacked by an alligator.
Yes.
But my thought when I hear that, it's awful. Every aspect of that. And same thing with your story. Every aspect of it is awful. You're on vacation. You're lucky enough to be able to go to this beautiful place. You're experiencing it. Your husband was jumping in their beautiful water. But how do you get on a plane and leave and go home? Now you're by yourself. You went with that person, or like that family in Disney. They went as a family. They had to go home without their son. You had to fly. Like, how do you, what was it, 8 hours?
It was awful.
Flight without the person that sat next to you on the way there.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could ever understand it.
Like I said, the power of, I don't want to say denial, but it's amazing how your body just slowly gives you little glimpses of pain. It doesn't give it to you all at once, you know? It's like almost like a survival thing. But I remember on the flight home, someone was like, oh, an open seat, and sat in my husband's seat, and I lost it. I was like, get out of that seat. And not because I wanted the room, just for obvious reasons. I didn't want anybody sitting there.
Yeah, he was supposed to be there.
Yeah. So it was tough, but the support of friends and family is always wonderful. And then I just kind of poured my whole life into figuring out a way to honor him and my grandmother, who I lost a year before, who raised me. So that's where the name.
So that's where the name of your company came from. And the name of your company is?
Justin Jean.
Justin was your husband. Jean was your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been 4 years since you lost your husband. I guess 5 since you lost your grandmother.
Yes.
And you've been able to, it seems like it anyway, you've been able to move on. Or is that the right phrase?
I like to say move forward, because he's like always going to be a part of me. And I'm so proud that he chose me to be in his family. And he was just an exceptional man. I always explain to everyone, like, I talk about him because he deserves to be talked about. He deserves for people to know who he was and what he stood for. And through my business, I get to kind of show that to people, which is cool.
So how? Tell us about your business.
So I created a pajama line. I started off with just women and girls. I chose pajamas mainly because that's when we're our most real, right? Our most authentic. I think about time spent with my grandmother, just hanging out with my siblings, just hanging out, being myself, laughing, watching movies. The pajamas symbolize comfort, authenticity, integrity, and passion. And all the pajamas have a heart patch sewn on the sleeve to encourage us to wear our heart on our sleeve. And these are all traits that my grandmother and Justin had. My fabric is what people love the most.
Okay. What's the fabric?
It's a rayon spandex. It's just so soft.
Well, who doesn't love soft PJs?
Yeah. And it doesn't shrink. It's just a quality product too. My grandmother was a seamstress. So God forbid I couldn't produce anything that wasn't perfect. I hear her voice a lot when I'm doing stuff. She was like, no, that's junk, you know? So I'm very careful with what I produce.
My guess is you stopped teaching and this is your full-time career?
I was working down in Delaware County as a teacher, but because of the distance, I was living in New Hope because my husband worked in Manhattan. It was like a halfway point for us. The summer before he passed, I quit my job with nothing else lined up. And I got a long-term sub in a wonderful school district, Council Rock, up in Bucks County. And I worked in Holland Middle School as a special ed math teacher. I loved it. I didn't even think about it. Like, the funeral, everything was just so crazy. And then I have to get back to work. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle that. The kids deserve 100%, and that's all I give. So after speaking to the principal, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, you know. And they said they would help me, you know, when I was ready to come back. And then it was the first time in 18 years I had any time to play or like just do whatever I wanted and to kind of discover my passion. So in a way, it was really cool. I would stay up all night. I pulled out this sewing machine that I begged Justin for the year previous because I wanted to do something to honor Mama Jean, my grandmother. And I pulled it out and I just started sewing all kinds of crazy stuff, fashion sketches. And I slowly like just came up with the idea of pajamas. And it was a great way to honor them both. You know, I've donated over $10,000 to charity in the past 2 years that I've been selling. So it was just a great way for me to work through my grieving and to be able to give back in their name. For example, there's one called Angel's Cradle, which is an Albanian charity. My husband was half Albanian. They provide like shelter for abandoned babies, which is like a huge problem over there. So I thought that would be cool to kind of honor his Albanian side. I just did research and I found this wonderful charity, U.S.-based charity, this woman, Claudia, who goes to Albania a few times a year, and she just takes care of these babies. It's beautiful. And like, I'll send pajamas over for the babies every so often too. And then the Fall Foundation is a friend of mine, Heather Rawlings. Her foundation is Faith, Hope, and Love. And she basically provides education and support to couples who experience infertility and infant loss. The last charity is called Live the List. And there's this woman, she's called One Fit Widow. After I lost Justin, there'd be nights where I'd be lying in bed and I would just like scroll through Facebook and I would come across one of her articles and I would read it and I'd be like, how did she know I was feeling that way? So she was a huge reason why I am where I am today. She gave me the strength. She was like, life is too short. Similar story. She lost her husband tragically. He was a pilot and his plane crashed. I sent her and her daughter pajamas, just thanking her. That created connection with her. So I was donating to her charity as well, and I still am.
Did you do something for a pet charity?
Just last year, I was introduced to a wonderful woman who does PR for the White Dog Cafe, Jamie. And we partnered up to raise money for Alpha Bravo Canine, which is a local.
They're a great charity. Yeah.
Yeah. They train therapy dogs for our veterans, which I think is wonderful. This year, I have a paw print pajama that's actually my Golden Doodle's paw. Every purchase from now until I believe we did January 15th, 25% of the sale goes to Alpha Bravo.
That's great. Where can people get the pajamas?
They can get the pajamas at www.justinjeanpjs.com. And I just opened up a flagship store in New Hope, Pennsylvania, which is at 10 West Mechanic Street in New Hope.
I ask this question to a lot of my guests. If you could give one bit of advice to the listeners, what would you say to them?
I think the most important thing is just the realization that life is so short. And some of the stuff we stress over and get upset about is so silly. I know that's easier said than done. We all kind of get caught up in things. Life is so short that you should just live your passion. Don't live for other people.
Do what's best for you.
Yep.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming by and telling us your story.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Kathy.
If you'd like to purchase a pair of Lauren's pajamas, go to her website. It's justinjeanpjs.com.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest is the director of Fearless Restaurants and recently opened the company's newest venture, Louie Louie, located on Penn's campus. Please welcome Sydney Grimms. Hi, Sydney.
Hi.
You spent your childhood going to work with your dad in restaurants.
Correct. Yeah. So every Saturday I would go to work with my dad. Both my parents worked full time. My mom actually worked for Macy's in cosmetics, and then my dad worked in the restaurant. So that was like our Saturday morning jaunt, was going to the restaurant in the morning.
Your dad owned the restaurants?
He did. So he owned a restaurant called Passerelle and Bravo, which was located in Radnor, and then one in Bryn Mawr called Central. But I spent most of my time at Passerelle.
So you could go to work with dad. You can't quite go to Macy's.
No, I did stockroom like as I got a little bit older. It wasn't like totally legal at the time, but I did all the shrink wrapping at Macy's. But the restaurants was definitely more fun.
Going to work with your dad every weekend, how did that help you in where you are today? I mean, did you know this is what I want to do? I want to work in the restaurant industry?
I think I always knew that I wanted to do something in restaurants. I wasn't sure exactly what that was going to be. I think that it was a natural kind of fit. And it was something that when you're like raised in something, it becomes kind of like a natural kind of extension of your body, so to speak. It's kind of like having an extra body part. So that's kind of how I always looked at the restaurants, was it was something that was almost like going home. If that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. And
it's where I felt the most comfortable working. So
it's what you knew since you were little.
Yeah, exactly. So I think because I did that at such a young age and was always around food, always around baking, that it was a natural extension to like go and study that in college.
Okay, so you did study it in college.
Yeah,
you didn't
I did.
Just gain it from going to work with your dad.
Through high school, I always worked in the restaurants, and I actually worked down at the Four Seasons in laundry. So it was during the recession had just hit. They really didn't have a job for me. So I was working at the front desk, and they were like, listen, if you want to stay on and you want to go to school for this and want to get a recommendation out of it, you're going to have to work in laundry. And I was like, that's totally fine. Like, I'll do anything just to go to the hotel school. So it was like my lifelong dream was to go to Cornell. So I was not the best student. I was very middle of the pack when it came to my high school, but I always worked. And that was something that I think what was so cool about Cornell was they weren't necessarily looking at all the grades and all the numbers. They were really looking at what's your work experience and what's your personality like. And if your personality and your work experience and just your sheer determination shows through, then they would admit a couple B students. So I was one of those.
They are a good school for...
The major's called Hotel Administration. And it is, technically, it's a business school. So it's more of like a real estate finance degree now. It used to be much more operations-based. You graduate and you work in a restaurant. But very few kids actually go and work in restaurants coming out of the hotel school now. Most work in finance and that kind of realm.
And did you live in East Hampton at one point?
I did.
So I love the Hamptons. We vacation in Montauk every
summer. No way. Yes. Oh my gosh.
That's our spot. That's where we go every single summer. Have you been out to Montauk?
I've spent multiple summers out there. So I graduated from college with this degree in hotel administration with a minor in real estate finance. And I was like, do I want to do the finance thing? If I'm going to do the restaurant thing, now's the time. Because the restaurant business is for people who you have to be very mobile to be, you have to be fit and you have to be mobile to do it, right? Or you come home every day and you're exhausted. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it now. So I moved out to East Hampton and I joined this restaurant group actually based out on the West Coast, but they had a little boutique restaurant called East Hampton Grill. And I worked there for my summer after college, which was literally like an episode of Real World. It was wild. And I have actually taken inspo from the Hamptons and Montauk specifically. And that's what I drew on to open the Deck Philly, which is the summer venue on top of Mishulu. So it was
launched. Which was just recently redone.
Correct.
Well, now I have to go, now that I know that it's modeled after the Hamptons and Montauk.
Yeah, so that's that was the inspiration behind there, because I was like, there's nothing that is like this in Philadelphia, where you're on the water, it's a little bit more high-end, a little bit more of an upscale casual concept, but you have that nightlife component, you have, there's fitness, there's crafting, there's a bunch of different stuff that you can do at Mishulu in the Deck Philly.
I love that. So you talked a little bit about different jobs within the restaurant industry. And I know if you're going to be a restaurant owner or you're going to be a manager, that you really should have experience or at least have worked a little bit in each position.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have to. And I think that it's really funny because when you talk to people now who even reviewers and such of Philadelphia, and they're like, oh, dad gave you a restaurant. I'm like, that's exact opposite of what has happened. I started literally as a coat room attendant at age 12, and I was a steward. I worked in dish. I worked on the line at a restaurant. I worked the grill station. I was trained back of house, actually following college, and then I moved into the more front of house position. So I worked everything from runner, busser, bar back, bartending, serving. I served for a really long time. I bartended for a really long time.
Did you ever cook?
I did. I would say it's not my strength. I'm definitely more of like, I like to be out on the floor and service is my passion. But I had to train back of house in the kitchen in order to feel comfortable understanding every aspect of the restaurant. When you look at your financial statements at the end of the month, your kitchen is controlling, just the food itself is controlling around 30% of your sales. So it's important to understand where all that's coming from and how to break it down.
It's sort of a world that I don't really understand. I worked in the restaurant industry for a very short period of time in college. My cousin had a job at this beautiful restaurant, and she said, you have to come. The tips are great. You can make some great money. And I worked in the coat room just like you, except that's where I stopped. I didn't go anywhere else but the coat room. They put me in the cocktail room for like a short period of time, and I think I screwed up everyone's drink.
Oh my gosh.
They were ordering it was like an older crowd. I was in college.
Okay.
And it was an older crowd, and you know, they were ordering things like a rusty nail and this, and I had no idea what that was.
You're just trying to sling vodka sodas at that point in your life. I'm like, that's all.
I couldn't get through it. So I stayed in the coat room for a little while, and it was a great job. The coat room was a great job.
I did the coat room for about 4 years. I love the coat room. It's a secret moneymaker. People don't know. And I think that all of our managers' kids at some point have worked the coat room at Mishulu. It's kind of a rite of passage. And I always say, if and when I have kids one day, they will absolutely work in a restaurant. It's not an option because it teaches you such invaluable skills.
Is your dad still working?
Oh my God. He will never stop working until the day he dies. So if he stops working, you know that there's an issue. He is the most passionate person in my life. He loves what he does. He goes to work every day.
So where is he now?
We shared an office for about a year and change, small little like 8x10 room. And he works out of our Haverford office. We've now expanded our office.
And who is your dad?
My dad, his name is Marty Grimms.
Tell me about this new venture. Louie Louie opened on Penn's campus, and you're directing and managing the whole effort.
Yeah, so I think of my role as one, a firefighter, and B, kind of a project manager. So people are always asked, what's your title? It's really not about the title. You just have to get the job done and whatever that might be. It's all the yucky stuff. That's what I do. I do all the stuff that nobody else wants to do. Louie Louie opened July of 2018. It's been my project for 2 years. So I've seen it from the loan process all the way through design, which takes a lot of time, construction, which we only had about 4 months in construction, which was pretty incredible. And then I hired every single person on the team. I made all the music selections. We worked with our beverage director to put all the cocktails together, the wine list, tasting every single wine, choosing every fork, knife, whatever. There was a purpose to every single thing in the restaurant. So that's what I spent 2 years doing.
And what about the restaurant? What type of restaurant is it?
So it's an American bistro with French influence. So you're going to find anything from a chicken Milanaise to a French onion soup to a ratatouille, or we are starting hopefully soon this incredible bagel tower on Sundays for brunch. We have a great strawberry French toast, which I really love. I would say it's an American bistro with some French influence.
Do you have anything special happening at the restaurant for the holidays?
We do. The restaurant group in general, we have a lot of different events that are going on. Louie Louie will be open for New Year's Eve, so we'll ring in the New Year there, as well as a big blowout at Mishulu and the Deck Philly. Autograph will also be hosting, which is located out in Wayne, will also be hosting New Year's Eve there. We're open at every location.
So if people want more information about the events that the restaurants are having, where can they find that?
Best way to find our information is through our Facebook pages. So Mishulu Restaurant, Louie Louie PHL, or Autograph Brasserie. We're also doing New Year's Day. We do pajama brunch every year. It's a tradition at White Dog Cafe. So that will happen at each one of our White Dog Cafe restaurants. Bring your own pajamas. It's a really fun celebration and tradition that we do every year.
If you could give one bit of advice to the listeners today, what would it be? Anything. It could be about life. It could be about the restaurant industry. It could really be about anything.
That is such a good question. People always say that, too, when they're stumped. I would say prioritize yourself. That's something that I'm really not good at. But I think that that is a major lesson that I have learned in the last 6 months to a year that has nothing really to do with business, but it has more to do with who you are outside of work. And on a personal level, I think that women in general, I think, tend to focus their energy on making sure everybody else is taken care of and that they tend to, their own needs fall by the wayside. And it's little things like cleaning out your car or just taking the extra 5 seconds to make your bed in the morning. Being very mindful, I think, in those moments and finding pride and joy in that, I think that would be my biggest advice.
That's great advice because that happens to me all the time. And then you get annoyed at yourself for not taking the extra 5 minutes to make your bed or clean out your car
exactly.
or whatever it is. So
exactly.
Sydney, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thanks so much, Kath.
If you'd like to find out more information about Louie Louie, you can check them out on Instagram. It's Louie Louie PHL or go to Open Table for reservations. Have a great New Year's Eve and a happy new year. Enjoy the Mummers Parade. I'm Kathy Romano. I'll see you in 2019.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.